You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada. On Friday, August 9th, the gates will open to the Whitsett Ballpark for the annual Sports Days event. Whitsett has been hosting this event for 101 years, and Penny Nicole, the Whitsett Band events coordinator, thinks this year is going to be off the hook. It's hard to say which event is the main event, from a jig contest to a greased pole race, karaoke, or the competitive white-knuckle baseball games happening on both ball fields all weekend. But don't take it from me. Here's Penny Nicole explaining more about the festivities happening in Whitsett this weekend.
Denise, I'm Penny Nicole. I'm the events coordinator. This weekend we'll be having sports day, and it's going to be teams from all over. Desmond McKinnon is taking care of the men's, and Lisa McKinnon is taking care of the ladies. In between games, we have some events happening as well. So we'll have a drag race, which where each base will have a dress, a scarf, a purse, and third base will be high heels. Also, we're going to be having the elders come in free, but if they want to get in for the draw, we're having a trip for two to Vancouver, first place. Second place will be a laptop donated by Four Dimension, and the trip is donated by Whitsett First Nation. Third place will be a bike from McBike. So we do have bingo for the elders. We have a watermelon eating contest. We have a bunch of games for the adult as well as the kids.
Tell me about the grease pole.
Okay, the grease pole is one of the workers would get a tub of lard and they'll smear it all over the pole, all the way top to bottom. And on top of the pole will be $100. So kids, adults, teenagers, they all climb that pole. And whoever gets to the top wins at $100. And it goes on like Saturday all day. And then if it's won already, if not, we'll keep that on there. And then we'll have another one Sunday. And that's been going on. Sports Day is 101 years old. So that's been going on for a while.
The other one was, and it's a, you were saying a memorial, but the jig as well. Can you tell me about that?
We have the music for jig, and it'll be the men's and ladies will be dancing off for a jig, and that will be in memorial for Lester George. Every year we had sports day, he would always win the contest.
Is the contest to see who can jig the longest?
Who can jig, and we'll have judges that'll pick which one, and then the last female, last male will win $100.
For people who want to come visit, they come to Whitsett, they turn where the gas station is, and they come to the park here.
Yeah.
Do they have to buy tickets in advance, or are they paying?
Right now, we've got a meeting tomorrow, but right now, when you walk into the gate, it's $5, and that $5 is entering you into those three big prizes.
And lastly, just Henry mentioned that a lot of other nations come because Whitsett and Wet'suwet'en are so welcoming and so hospitable. So how do you feel this year that you are keeping that tradition of great hospitality?
One of the hospitality is we have fish and rice, and a lot of people that travel from all over, like Prince George to Prince Rupert, they all come around and they want to taste our salmon. We always get somebody to cater that, and we hand them out to the out-of-towners and elders. And so, yeah, looking forward to that. Yes, and we'll have also vendors for takeaway, like selling bannock, selling T-shirts, selling different, and it's all local vendors. With the vendors, Telqua Mining has also donated $3,000, which is covering the umps, the base umps, and anything for the umps. So thank you, Telqua Coal Mining. Kaya Development as well. They're going to be helping with a lot of the expenses as well. Okay, starting at Friday night, 5 till 9, we're going to be having the men's baseball, yeah, starting off because there's more teams. And they'll use the ladies' diamond and the men's. So that way we have two games playing. And then Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we start the games. And at noon, we're going to do a memorial for all the fallen ball players. And then after that, we're going to start the games again. And then 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock will be the kids' activities with all the events. We'll have the elders bingo. Right at the end of the night, we're going to have a karaoke. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, start again. Games, and we're going to do the drag race, and then games, and then the jig. And the very last will be a candy scramble for the kids. And this is where we got all the candies and we just throw them, and the kids, I remember doing this as a kid. And then after that, we're going to do the trophy presentation, all the winners for first, second, and third. Yeah, I'm really hoping to see a lot of people here.
Thank you so much. Each year, the Whitsett Band hosts an annual sports weekend full of fun and friendly competition at the Whitsett Ball Field, which is colloquially named after Alfred Mitchell, who insisted that his land was used for recreation when he sold it to the band. Even though the mood of this event is fun and jovial and everyone is invited, there's still a serious purpose to which some of the events are fundraising, and one of those is to educate Whitsett youths on the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Here's Henry Mitchell speaking about that cause.
My name is Henry Mitchell. I'm from Whitsett First Nation. I am the Whitsett's First Nations Recreation Coordinator, which means I take care of the upcoming youth and the youth that are in our program from ages 9 to 18.
Okay. Can you tell me about the programs? Tell people a little bit about what's happening this weekend, and then specifically about the dunk tank.
Okay. This weekend, it's an annual event we have every year, and it's usually held between the first weekend to the third weekend of August. It's always been in those areas. And what happens, our community gets together, and it's run by the band office, the health center, and then we ask the surrounding businesses to donate anything they can. We take care of everybody, whether it's the elders, the kids, teenagers.
Yeah.
And the ball players, of course.
Yeah.
Because they're the main reason why we have this thing.
Has it grown or has it always been really popular?
I would say it's slowly growing and getting better every year. We always try to outdo the previous year. And this time, for the first time in a long time, we're going to have the dunk tank here. Mm-hmm. And we're raising money for our kids to go to Prince George for a Scared Straight tour.
Okay.
And it's really important. I think it's important because kids need to be aware of what's going on out there.
Can you tell me some of the specifics of what the program entails and also who it's for? Is it for at-risk youth, or tell me a little more about that?
It's mainly for, I would say, everyone. It's not mainly for at risk, because we include everybody. And then we don't specifically cater to those who are in need. It's for everyone. And we've capped it at the age of 9 to 18.
So what's the purpose and what's the goal in your mind for the kids to learn?
The purpose of going to Prince George, to me, because I took a group of kids, the previous group, to bunch of other people and myself, we took a bunch of kids to Vancouver, East Hastings. And it's the reason why it's called Scared Straight is because they want the kids to see exactly what would happen if you get caught up with the drugs and the alcohol. And the kids, it's to get their attention, say they don't want to do this when they get older because it's very scary, it's real. And it's affecting all ages. Doesn't matter if you're young or you're old, or just it affects everybody. And it's always about the trauma that they've gone through, whether it's sexual or physical, mental abuse, because it happens everywhere. And our chief is very passionate about our village, and I know chief and council will do whatever they can to help us go to the sink. And we wanted to do 2 days of actually down in Moccasin Flats. They have a guy that's the inside guy there. He's gonna interview the kids with a bunch of people that live on the streets and show the kids, like, they can ask them any question they want. any question. Yeah. And then most of the questions are going to be, how did this start? How did you get started on this? And 9 times out of 10, those guys are going to say, weed and booze.
Yeah.
That's it. Then you add all the traumas you can think of are infected, and that's why it happens.
It's a pretty radical program, too, because it's not theoretical, right? Like, it's practical. You're bringing youth from Whitsett to meet and interact with people.
It's important. He's with us, and then kids can see, and he could see what the kids are going to see, because it's important. They need to see it's real. It's out there, and it's happening everywhere. It's not just happening in Prince George. It's happening in Smithers.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening in Terrace. Pretty much every reserve has this problem, and it's not going to go away unless somebody figures out how to do it. And so if we could get to a kid before, then we're doing something right.
Are you working in collaboration with the First Nations Health Authority? Or?
Not at the moment. No, this is right strictly with the health station itself, and then possibly the chief and council. They usually jump in just before and say, okay, you know what, we're going to help you guys out. Because we're taking, I believe it's going to be about 15 kids. Try to make a change in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And that's what's more important to me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've been doing this job for, I lost count.
Yeah.
I literally lost count. Put it this way, all my kids were in there, and all my kids are adults now.
I guess just the... And so the money being raised for this program, it's all being done through the dunk tank. Who's going to be on the dunk tank this year?
Usually I get somebody who's really high up there, which is our chief. And I'm telling you right now, he raised quite a bit of money himself. He did it an Aboriginal day. He didn't even hesitate. He was like, sure, I'll do it. And he went in there. Elgin just jumped in there, and you should have seen the lineup for him. $20, and if they missed the 3 balls, that was it.
Yeah,
was their $20. And they were running, I got $20, $20, $20 in there. People are lined up for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, you use your 3 balls.
What about you? Will you be on the plank?
I wouldn't be able to get up on that thing. It's really high. So you, when you're in that water, you got to get out of that water. I broke this. I wouldn't be able to push myself out of there.
Yeah.
Unless I put a block in it.
Yeah, and our cop.
And the kids will say, I want to dunk her. So they'll ask their mom and dad for money so they can. It's going to be fun. I know it's going to be a money maker. And like I said, all the money that's raised is going to go towards the kids.
How much do you want to raise? Do you have a goal?
Oh, God. It's going to be, I think it's going to be about $5,000 at least. And if we get sponsors for it, then great. Because sponsors really help out, because they'll be like, I'll sponsor the whole trip for you guys. And that's all I want, just to open people's eyes about it, because it's really important. It is. It's. We don't want to keep losing kids. The last, what is it, Elgin? Last 6 have all been young, very young, that we've lost in our village due to the drugs. And that's why I'm very passionate. I want to put an end to this stuff. I work with these kids. I work with 9-year-olds. I have to watch them till they're 15, and then they're gone. I don't want to lose any of these kids. I just don't. I don't want anything to happen to them.
Lastly, on the news today, I want to share a short clip from an upcoming podcast about Abigail Joseph, a 27-year-old Wet'suwet'en mother of 2 young children who has been dip netting for salmon as a food source and reclaiming her own identity through fishing at Whitsett Canyon. Dip netting for salmon is a unique fishing method exclusive to the Wet'suwet'en fishers and other indigenous fishers with permission, allowing them to harvest salmon directly from the Bulkley River using a large net attached to a long pole. The process involves standing at the river's edge with the long-handled net, waiting for the salmon to swim into it. Dip netting is Abigail's right as an indigenous woman. Ever since she started fishing, she has provided much-needed sustenance for her family. But she is still a bit of an anomaly as a woman perched on the sandstone outcrops of Whitsett Canyon, a bright orange rope around her waist, reverently bowing toward the tumultuous and serious rapids of the canyon in hope of catching good sockeye. It's intense watching her fish. Her arms are strong and she is fast, hand over hand on the pole as she raises all 25 feet of the aluminum handle. I spent an afternoon with Abigail at Whitsett Canyon. And Abigail told me of the women who came before her, who inspired her to take on the role of fisher, rather than cleaner and preserver, though she has great respect for all of those tasks as well, and will be doing them later on in the season. Although she may be challenging gender stereotypes by getting out on the rocks with the boys, she feels almost closer to her true feminine nature when her face is wet with the river spray, sweating from exertion, and in the distance, she can hear the coos of her 7-month-old daughter being well taken care of by her mother. Are there many women fishing, especially dip net fishing?
There's more women starting to dip net now. Yeah. Back in the day, there was Betty Joseph, who was one of the first dip netting fisherwoman. She worked for the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries. She's incredible. So amazing at fishing. I was too young to witness her fishing a lot. I think I vaguely remember her fishing. I started fishing at 15. My sister doesn't fish anymore, but there are so many other empowering women who are fishing here. There's definitely become a lot more women doing it in the past couple of years that I've seen. It's usually typically been male dominated.
Yeah. Can you describe where we are?
We are in heaven. My heaven. I absolutely love it here. We're at the Whitsett Canyon, and there's massive falls, beautiful green turquoise water going into this rush of this heavy flow. It's so powerful. Like, being so close up to it and feeling the power that comes from these falls is just incredible. I absolutely love it here. Nice little valley that we're in, beautiful trees around us. We see lots of bears up the river and deers, lots of hot rocks, which makes it really hot when we fish.
What does salmon represent to you as a fisher and as a mother as well?
Salmon represents life to me. It feeds my family and it has for years. We grew up fairly poor, and if we didn't catch fish or shoot moose, like, we wouldn't have food for the winter. It's definitely, salmon is a huge symbol in my life. More recently, I never used to fish. I started and then I left the res, never really came back much. But I just started to get back into it because I realized how good it is for my family and how much we eat. And having become a mother, I'm so focused on feeding them good, healthy foods. This is the best it gets, is this fish here, freshly caught, freshly processed, canned and preserved within 24 to 48 hours of catching it. And it also means family. I remember growing up and there's five of us, and we'd all be down here. My dad would be catching all this fish, and then we would spend a couple days gutting the fish, filleting the fish, canning the fish, and it was always like the women, my mom and my sister, doing it. So fish to me also means family, because every time there's fish around, that means we're with family and we're fishing together and we're preserving together and we're learning together, because every year I learn something new. My mom is incredible and has helped me learn so much the last couple years, and I never realized how important good food is until I've had children. Till I'm like, I want the food. The fish from the store is garbage and it's crazy expensive. It's my right to fish here in these waters because my ancestors did. So I want to definitely take advantage of my right to fish here because they're powerful, they're beautiful, and they connect me to the land and the water, which I feel is so important for everybody.
All right, so Abigail's putting the rope around her waist. Nice long piece of orange rope, which is attached to, it's called the ladder, just kind of like a steel gate that we're walking on. But as soon as she dipped in, she dipped out. It is incredible how fast she's working. Down it goes, scooping, and it's come back up already, and she has yet an out two this time.
Holy! Oh my god! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 fish. Oh my god!
Wow, that was a lot.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam.